Good evening. We're beginning a new series in the work Sfat Tamim that the Chafetz Chaim wrote. It's based on the verse Netzol Lishoncha Meira Usfatecha Medaber Mirma. Watch your tongue from saying evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And here we will learn the prohibitions of lying, being deceitful, stealing, being unfair in business, the punishments for one who transgresses it, and the wages for one who keeps these commandments, and some good advice how to fix the sins if one has them. If one has already sinned, how should one fix his ways? So let's begin. The first chapter, Yevo'al bo mahi mirma. In this chapter, we will explain what is deceit, v'shetzich adam l'achik atzmo mizeh, and that a person should distance himself from this. Do you prefer I read the Hebrew and translate it, or just summarize it?
Hebrew
and translate.
Okay.
Hine mirma nikra, deceit is called ala diburim asher yedaber ha'adam. Deceit is a reference to the way people speak. V'chavanato le'atot bo et chavero. A person who speaks with the intent, with the kavana lehat'ot, to mislead in his speech his fellow men. Uvichlal ze, included in this, is kol inyanei ha-talmit, all types of trickery, veha-ona'ot b'mischarim uv'shutafut. And ona'ot, ona'ot is affliction in forms of business and partnerships. So, mirma, we're going to discuss the prohibition of mirma, deceit, which encompasses all kinds of deceit and affliction, afflicting one another in business or in partnerships. V'afidu imen be'etzem ha-sheker. And even if in the lie itself there isn't intrinsically nezek ve'efsed l'chaviro, he hasn't directly harmed or caused his friend a loss, ach yitachen bo la'asoto siba el hanezek ve'el hara. But it is possible through one's deceit to cause his friend harm or ill. Kmo hamat'e et chavero, like one who misleads his friend, she'yamin bo, that he should trust him, ki ohev v'rea ne'emanimo. He tries to give him the feeling that he is his friend, he loves him, he should be trusted by him. But his intent in so doing is kedei sheyivtach bo, so that his friend will have faith in him, velo yishamer mimenu, and his friend won't be wary of him. He'll trust him. Ve'yuchal le'adiach alav ra'a, and then he will be able to harm him. Gam zehu avon pelili. This too is a terrible sin. So he says, what's included in deceit? Sometimes the lie itself doesn't hurt someone. The lie is there with the intent to buy someone else's trust. But through that trust, the person ultimately hurts him. The who misnu... What?
Hurts the other person or hurts himself?
Hurts the other person. The who misnu Hashem avul zeh. And one who does this, because of such behavior, is called one who Hashem hates. Kmo shamu chazal, as our sages taught in the Talmud in Psachim. Shelosha, there are three that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sone'an, that Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, hates. Ve'echad mehen, one of those three is Hamdaber, one who speaks in a fashion of Echad Bapeh ve'echad Balev. He says one thing in his mouth, yet feels something different in his heart. This is a term you'll encounter often. Echad bapeh ve'echad balev. One thing is expressed by the mouth, and an entirely different thing is felt by the heart. Gam hakadosh baruch hu. God too, mitnakem bo, takes revenge against such a person. Avul mida ra'a zo. Because of such an evil trait. Kmo she'ne'emar b'Yirmiyah, as the prophet Jeremiah says, b'fiv, with his mouth, Jeremiah describes a person with his mouth, shalom et re'ehu yidaber. He speaks to his friend and expresses peace. Peace, brother, yeah? Befiv, with his mouth, he expresses peace. Uvekirbo, yet inside him, yasim obo, he prepares the person's trap. V'ne'emar acharav, and later on, the prophet describes, ha'al eile lo efkodbam, will I not take them to task over things like this, ne'um Hashem, so says Hashem. Im begoy asher kazeh, with a nation that behaves like this, lo titnakem nafshi, will I not take revenge? So, we're in the middle of a thought, but Uri is with us, so I'm with you, yeah.
So the next where you can get really confused is like, so what if you have a situation, like, okay, let's say you're with your spouse, and like, they say something that really doesn't make you happy, but my impression was always you're supposed to keep your cool. Now, in your heart, if you're really feeling offended, should you just say, like, oh, I'm offended by that? Oh, because that's one thing in your heart, another thing in your mouth. Or should you, like, even though you may feel lonely in your heart, like, you're really offended by this, wouldn't it be good to say, like, oh, I understand, and try and make peace with your mouth, even though you feel differently in your heart? Or if you have, like, people, like, that annoy you, wouldn't it be not so good to, like, say, like, oh, you annoy me, and I'm telling you because I feel that way about you?
I think we have to discern. In the scenarios you described, I didn't get the picture that the person did something wrong. It might be my preference.
Could be that someone who talks like this really gets on my nerves.
Could be, but he didn't do anything wrong. So now I'm going to tell him, hey buddy, you know, you really get on my nerves. That's not right. I have no right to say that. He didn't do me any harm. So I don't think Chazal meant that when they said, Echod bapev, Echod baleiv. When Chazal said, if you're dishonest with a person, Chazal meant, as we will see in the continuation, in a way that's unfair. So here, I'm not supposed to go hurting people's feelings. You know, I told you the story. I was once dating a girl, and she said to me, boy, you're short. You know, that's not nice. What do you have to say that for? There are a lot of things that are true. And what? No, she said it worse. I said it nicer than she said it. She said it in Hebrew. She was walking on the sidewalk. I was walking on the street. And she said it. She said, you know, I feel like a giant next to you without this distance. Why don't you come on the sidewalk? Shorty, right?
What did she say when you said that's not nice?
I didn't say that's not nice. I just smiled.
Oh.
When people are like oblivious to things like this, I don't think I'm going to teach them anything. I smiled. I said, okay, you know, fine. Okay. It's a whole story. You got to listen to the dating classes. I tell the full story there. It's a doozy of a date. Anyways, so I think that in scenarios where it's just my feelings, I don't think I have a right to express that. Chazal were discussing a situation where I'm upset, I think the guy doesn't do business well, I have zero intent in building a business with him, but then I'm going to gain his confidence and then fly off to Honolulu with all his money. So that's not fair. I'm giving him the feeling like we're in it together in order to dump him. So that's where Chazal were discussing it, as we'll see in a second. Now, I don't know if you noticed, I'm reading this differently because I was asked to read and translate every three words. Now, I don't mind doing that, but it's going to go much slower. So if that's what you want, how many people want me to continue like this? You'll gain in your Hebrew skills, but will accomplish less, quantity-wise. You're for continuing at this pace,
yeah.
Every three words to translate.
I'm for the more ground is covered. The flow is, I like the normal flow.
You notice the difference?
Yeah.
You prefer this way?
Yeah. I have a seg, I'm leaving soon.
You're voted. Okay, we'll go slow. Okay.
You're a vote, no?
I won't get involved here because it's an educational question, meaning I have to work with what's best for the crowd, if that's what you guys prefer. So the majority prefers slower, we'll go slower. Are you following the words? Yeah. Okay, good. Ki eile hachalakim, because these smooth talkers, on sham, their punishment is hu al shnei dvarim. They will be punished for two things: al hashekir, for their lie, the al hanezek, and for the damage hatzarur bichnafav, that it takes along with its wings. Now that's a term from the Navi. The Navi describes, so to speak, the wind that's caught by the wings. The Navi describes it as though the wings, as they flap, they catch the wind. So that's a way of saying something that's dragged along with it. So the Chafetz Chaim says, these smooth talkers will be punished over two things: over their lie, and over the damage that they brought along with it. Ki ha-sheker, because the lie, in its own right, milevad tzad hanezek, without that aspect of the damage that they inflict, hu gamken, that too is to'avat Hashem, something that Hashem despises. Ka'inyan sheneemar, as the verse says in Proverbs, to'avat Hashem siftei shaker, lips that lie are the deceit of God. God hates them. V'chol sheken bazeh, and how much more so in this example, shemitnakel be'armimuto, that he is plotting in his cunning, lehazik ulehatzer lechavero, to damage and afflict his friend. So that was the first paragraph, the idea of deceit, the idea that even deceit that doesn't damage directly but will ultimately cause damage is also hated by Hashem. The Talmud in Psachim that tells us there are three people that Hashem hates. One of them is a person who expresses one thing but feels another, and that Hashem himself will take revenge from such a person. And the idea that there are two problematic points: there's the point that the person's lying, and there's the point that the person's harming his fellow man. Yes. So we'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to that. That's okay. Yes?
We're not going to take in Hashem hates literally. Okay.
I didn't follow?
Like, Hashem hates those and those people. It's not to be taken literally. Okay.
Why do you say that?
Because I think that's the truth. Because Hashem, first of all, he doesn't have such a thing as hate. But I also think that Hashem doesn't hate. I think it's people who hate. Hashem loves us more than people love each other, and Hashem is more rachum than we have and everything. So I think.
Okay, fine. So I wasn't sure what you meant. If that's what you meant, yeah.
What does it mean that Hashem hates?
So any humanistic term that's used with regard to Hashem is used to teach us. It's from our perspective. That's how we describe Hashem. It's not that we're saying that's really where Hashem stands.
Right, that much I understand up until that point. So what does it mean in terms that we can understand that God hates? Okay, we can understand that it's metaphoric for something else. What is it metaphoric for? What are the traits of godly hatred?
I think there are levels, as the Malbim describes. The Malbim was a commentary that lived approximately 150 years ago, maybe a little bit more.
In Europe.
He wrote a commentary on Tanakh, and he wrote a halachic work, and he wrote a few other things. So he shows from the verses that there are stages. There's the stage where Hashem ignores a person. So he's going to pray, and Hashem won't answer. There's a stage where Hashem gives him over to the laws of nature, where Hashem says, I'm not intervening on his behalf, but I'm not going to hurt him. Then there's the stage where Hashem says, I'm going to focus on making things bad for him, where Hashem, so to speak, is out to get him. So we see that in the Tochacha. We see that. Okay, right, yeah. So that could be the punishment of Yehuda's sons, yeah. Gam im bedivrei mirma shelo, even if when a person spoke deceitfully, en gozel meito davar, he hasn't stolen anything from him. Shehu shelo mikvar, he hasn't taken anything that's his. Velo chomeso, nor is he stealing from him. Aval yiten eino betova ha'atida lavo lidei re'ehu. But he is looking at the good that's yet to come to his friend. And because of that, v'tzodeota lekachta elav, and he is planning, how is he going to usurp him? How is he going to take that from him? V'sheker milav, through his lies. So a person sees that his friend is going to, he's going to have a great inheritance, he's going to have great wealth, and he's thinking, how am I going to be able to siphon off some of that? Let me get him to think I'm his friend, and then I'll see how to get that out of him. O yisabev bishkarav, or a person will cause with his lies, sheyiten lo chavero matat, that his friend will give him a gift. Asher hayta mezumenet l'reyehu, his friend would have given it to a different friend. Gamze, this too, bichlal mirma yechashev. This is also called deceit. Ve'ikar onsho baze, and in these circumstances, the prime punishment is ala sheker, over the lie. Do situations ring in your head? I have so many situations I see playing before me when I read this. Achen yigdal onsho baze, but his punishment in this will grow ba'asher nisbav mimenu ri'uta lezulato, because he hurts someone else with his lie. So the second thought the Chafetz Chaim told us is, even if through the lying now he doesn't hurt his fellow man directly, his focus is in the future, how will I get something out of him? So he's lying to get there. Or he wants to ensure that he gets something and not someone else. So then he's going to get punished, a greater punishment, because he's harming other people through his lies. Okay. That's pretty obvious. Yeah. Okay. Again, there are so many examples of this. So many times people are in a corner, and the only way they know to get out is to shift the blame on someone else. I have someone who till today won't talk to me, and I don't know why. But someone fabricated a story, to the best of my knowledge. I didn't do him any harm. I can't think of a single thing I did wrong to the person, but till today he won't talk to me. And I when I try to understand why, he's telling me, oh, you think I don't know what you did to me? I don't know what I did to him. Okay, but someone found a way out by shifting the blame to me, and I don't even know what. So this has happened a few times in life. Usually the people were at least decent enough to explain to me, and then I could verify. But this is something that happens in life. A person's in a corner. I was once working for an institution where someone was in the hot seat. And so instead of telling the truth, he threw all the blame on me. Boom. So I get called into the manager's office and I'm getting yelled at. And I'm standing there and I don't even know what I'm getting yelled at for. So after like 5 minutes of being yelled at, I said, wait, could you just tell me what's going on? Like, what are we talking about? So I got the whole picture and I understood from the picture what they thought. And then I was stuck. I didn't know who was the one who had misled them. I knew that if I told them the truth, then it was pretty clear who had caused the problems. But I didn't know who had lied. So now, in the laws of Lashon Hara, are you allowed to tell the truth? Right? If a boss is coming and blaming you for something, mm-hmm. and you know it's really someone else's fault, can you walk up and say, well, it's him, it's not me?
Is it Lashon Hara?
Yeah. Ah, so... what? So there are many questions, right? But the Chafetz Chaim discusses that in certain circumstances, you have to be willing to suffer a loss and not say Lashon Hara.
In this case?
So the way this case played itself out, I wasn't sure. So I was quiet. I said, you know what, I want to think. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure I was allowed to say anything. I'm not going into all the details of the story, but I bit the bullet, and I didn't know if I would lose my job. I didn't know. I didn't know until like a month or two later. But I couldn't figure out what.
You lost it?
No, I didn't lose the job, but I didn't know that's how it would play itself out.
The
other guy didn't either. No, I know. I'm not sure who misled the boss. I don't know. You're gonna enter these situations in life where you have a choice, and other people made the wrong choice, meaning you're stuck in a corner because someone else have found it more convenient to shift the blame to you. And then you don't always have the option to defend yourself. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But when you read this, then you say, okay. So there's a reason why God hates people who do that. V'chama snu'a u'meguna, and how hated and how repugnant is midazo, this trait, lifnei hakadosh baruch hu, before the Holy One, blessed be He. Shemisalko avul ze me'al panav. Because of this trait, Hashem kicks a person out from before Him. Kmo sheneemar, as the verse says, lo yeshev bekerev beiti, I don't let remain within my home, osei remiyah, those who do deceit. V'amru chazal, our sages said, mashal lema davar dome, what's this similar to? Lemelech, a king, sheheevir kiruz, he made an announcement, bechol malchuto, throughout his kingdom. Kol mi sheino ne'eman b'malchuti, whoever isn't trustworthy in my kingdom, yetze min ha'malchut, let him exit my kingdom. Ve'im lav yatizu et rosho, and if not, then he should be decapitated, let him be beheaded. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what God said. Kol mi shehu, anyone that is lahut, that is chasing after sheker, lies, eno ra'ui ladur be'olami, isn't fit to live in my world. Oh boy, what a scary lie. Anyone who chases after lies, Hashem says, isn't fit to live in my world. Mipnei, because she'ani barati ha'olam be'emet, I created the world with the virtue of truth. She'il maleiken, if it weren't so, lo haya ha'olam mitkayem, the world couldn't exist. The en sheker dar etzel emet, lies can't live near the truth. So that's the first quote from Chazal, that it's as though the king says, whoever isn't faithful to my kingdom should leave or be decapitated. So to Hashem said, whoever runs after lies doesn't fit in my world. Odamu Chazal, furthermore, our sages taught in the Talmud in Yuma, Chotamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God's seal is emet. Ubevadai she'im ha'emet huma shebachar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And certainly, if the word emet, if truth is what Hashem chose, likbo bechotamo, to stick onto His seal, kama megune v'ragu garua, how repugnant, how terrible is hamargil et atzmo behefko, a person who gets accustomed to the opposite. And this is a habit. People get into the habit of being accurate or inaccurate. Being exact.
Measure with a ruler.
Well, you'll see a lot of examples. You'll have eaten lunch, and there was delicious pizza. And you'll say, I had 3 slices. And you'll think for a second, I only had 2. Why did I say 3? You'll see that we often say things inaccurately because we're in that habit. And a person has to get into the habit of saying things accurately. And sometimes it means correcting ourselves. And sometimes it means speaking more slowly. And sometimes it means we won't be as impressive, because that's one of the reasons that we switch the truth a little bit. Yes.
Rav, I have a question about what you just said two sentences ago, which is, speaking about truth now in general, and even in a class earlier today, we were talking about the fact that a human being doesn't have the ability to have an objective truth. You know, everybody kind of has their own truth, and it's a whole philosophy and so on and so forth. How do you explain to someone, another person outside of yourself, that this is true if he believes that that is true? You know what I mean? Like, say it's not, and say it to make it more difficult, it's a non-religious person that doesn't, you know, perhaps believe in the relevance of Torah. Then what do you do?
So that's a good question, but it's not on topic enough for us to take the time for it now. On Thursday nights, every other week, meaning next week, we could deal with it, okay? If you don't mind writing it down, I'll be happy next Thursday, come back.
I physically will be at a wedding on Thursday night.
Okay, so you could ask one of the guys to ask it, and then we'll record it. And if not, there's Rat Shem in 3 weeks, every other Thursday. Okay?
I should be back in 3 weeks. Yeah.
Good. Vehizhir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God warns al ha'emet, regarding truth, azara rabba, a great warning. Va'amar, Hashem says in the prophet Zechariah, daberu emet ish et re'eyu. Hashem says, speak truth to your fellow man. Ve'ish et ra'at re'eyu, and the harm of one's friend, al tachshivu bilvavchem. Don't think about the harm of your friend. Don't think about how to harm your friends in your hearts. Ushvuat sheker, and false vows, al tehavu, don't love. People sometimes are very into getting people to believe their lies. No, don't be that way. Ki et kol eile asher saneti. These are all examples of things I hate, says Hashem. Va'amar Shlomo alav ha-shalom, and King Solomon said, peace be upon him. Sfat emet tikon la'ad. The lips that speak truth have foundations, they last forever. Va'adargia leshon shaker. Whereas a tongue that speaks lies, in a minute, what he says passes. Yazhir baze al adibur. Shlomo HaMelech here was warning us about how we speak. Sheyishtamesh bo bechol inyan be'emet, that a person should always use it for truth. Vesheyizahir min hasheker, and that a person should be so careful to distance himself from lies. Ki mi sheyeshlo sefat emet, whoever has a lip that speaks truth. Vehu nizhar bidiburav, and he's careful how he speaks. Sheyotziem, that he should always express al kav emet, on line with the truth. Hadibur hahu, that speech, yatzliach v'yikon la'ad, that speech will be successful and last forever. V'yaminuhu, and people will believe him, bechol devarav, and everything he says. Ki habiriyot yachzikuhu, because people will hold him to be le'ish emet, a man of truth. Kevan shehurgal kol yamav ledaber emet, being that he's been in the habit all his days to speak the truth. Aval mi, but someone sheyesh lo leshon sheker, that his tongue speaks lies, lo ya'aminu lidvarav, people won't believe what he says, ela adrega, only for a minute. Ki hashom'im devarav, because people who hear what he says, ya'aminu bahim lesha'a, they'll believe it for a time. V'achreichen, but afterwards, ka'asher yevakeru devarav, when they analyze, what did he just say? V'yachkeru otam, and they look into what he said. Yakiru, they will recognize, ki sheker heima, that they are lies. Uva hakatuv hazeh, so this verse came, lehazhir et habriyot, to warn God's creatures, sheyiyu tehorim b'diburam, to be pure in one's speech, שלא ידברו רק אמת. To only speak truth. That's much harder than we think. It's much harder. The more you deal with people, the more complicated it gets. No, to tell the truth. I got a phone call yesterday afternoon. Person calls me up. I'm a student of Machon Meir. I want to rent an apartment. The landlord says he knows you. If you recommend me, he'll rent me the apartment. So I said, but I don't know you. Now that's not comfortable to say. A student of Machon Meir, you want to back him, right? Isn't it my job to back him? Yeah, truthfully. I can't lie. So I said to him, look, whatever rabbi knows you should call the landlord. Or should call me, and then I could tell the landlord I spoke to a rabbi at the Machon who says he knows you and recommends you. But I can't lie for you. I never got a phone call. Isn't that interesting? Okay, it's been a day or two, but he seemed so pressured when he called me. It's a habit we have to get into, and when you get into the habit, then it becomes a principle. Sometimes people ask me, didn't you say such and such? And I'll say, I don't remember the conversation. But what you're telling me isn't the truth, so I don't think I said it. If you're in the habit that you try to say the truth, so then if people will quote you something, you can say, I don't remember our conversation, but I remember the facts. That's not factually correct, so I don't think I would have said it. And if you're in that habit, then you could say that. Mark Twain once said, the hardest thing about a lie is that you always have to remember what you said. You got to keep remembering. I don't remember. I can't. I can't remember my conversations. But aside from that, this is something we have to try to live up to. To speak the truth, to be pure in our speech. Now that gets very hard. You talk to people and sometimes it's none of their business. They ask you questions that are none of their business. What are you going to tell them? So you have to find out, you have to find ways of either not answering or avoiding the question without lying, which isn't always easy.
But aren't there a few things where you're allowed to lie about?
There are. But you have to run away from it like fire.
But also if you do that, you open up a precedent that people will be used to get too much into your life. Will make comments and will make repairs.
That's true.
If you don't make a point of maybe I'm being a little bit, you show that you're annoyed, maybe people will not go back to that.
Okay, so let's take an example. Let's say you donated a coat. There are many coats like that. And then someone walks into the classroom wearing a coat that looks just like the coat you donated. And then you tell me, is that the coat I donated? What am I supposed to say?
What you just said, there are many coats that look like that.
You understand it gets tricky? I'm not supposed to lie, but I'm not supposed to embarrass him and say that's the coat you donated, right?
If you donate, you can also say, you donate. But maybe there is a condition on telling you to whom you donate.
Right, there are many answers. I'm just saying life gets complicated. And you could be right, but that doesn't mean people won't corner you to a situation where you have to think fast and see what your solution is. And people are very quick to take the option that Yosef keeps suggesting. Wait, there are scenarios where you're allowed to lie. We have to try to minimize and run away from situations where we lie. We have to try to avoid the conversation. Sometimes you could tell a person, look, I'll talk to you in just 1 second and run away. just a second, I just got to answer that call. I just got to do this, that, and the other thing. And then you come back to him and say, I know we need to talk. Let's talk later. By the time you get to him, he's not going to remember to ask you, hey, did you give so-and-so the coat? What? Oh no, so I'm saying, so usually by the time you talk to him, he isn't going to stand around and wait to ask you, was that the coat I donated? Oh,
I read it somewhere, but I don't remember where.
So there are all kinds of scenarios. I'm not saying everything's everyone's business. You're right. That's a perfect example. A woman has a miscarriage and she can't have a pidyon habet. And then she has a baby boy and people want to know, why aren't you doing a pidyon habet? Or, I mean, there are other examples. Someone offers you a ride, you and your wife, and now you're the couple is in a prohibitive state, and they're not allowed to sit touching one another, and the only spot they're offering you in the car is where you'll be sitting shoulder to shoulder, and that's not permitted. So now you say, no, no, thank you. And they say, why? The bus is so far off.
If they're married?
Yeah. But from the minute of her onset till she goes to mikveh, they're not allowed to touch. They're not allowed to sit on the same bench right near one another. They're for sure going to touch, you know, sit in the car. So if you have a big car and you have a lot of room, that's one thing. But if it's a small car and there are three people in the back seat and you and your wife, okay, so then you got to figure out another way to get home. Now he's going to say, why not? So you got to think fast. I'm just saying it sounds like a simple rule, but in the course of life, it becomes complicated. For good reasons, a person should still hold on a pedestal this ideal of speaking the truth. I'm just saying people are too quick to say, I don't have a choice, or for the sake of the peace, or not to embarrass someone. Wait, maybe there's another option. Maybe there's another way out without twisting the truth so much.
Well, it's a little bit tougher, as I learned from you. You know, you're not going to say no, so you can also always say please, you know, not make such comments. Or, you know, do not...
Okay, the guy, but sometimes just by saying that, you already answered the question. Is that the code I donated? I don't think that's a fair question. You answered the question. You might have put the person in his place, but the question you answered.
I don't know. It's still embarrassing. Maybe it can hurt. Maybe you can hear that's the code or not.
Okay.
It's like the Chabad Sanya brings on the Chot Lashon Hara, that you might say something, but doesn't matter if it's not the way the other person understands it. So it's this problem, not your problem.
Okay. Ve'al achat kama v'chama sheyesh lo lizaher, and even more so, one should be careful shlo yitarvu bidvarav shum divrei mirma shu echad bapeh v'echad balev. A person has to be careful to speak truth. And even more so, a person has to be careful not to speak deceit, not to say something that he clearly feels differently in his heart. A person calls a person who is deceitful, he calls him evil. As it says in Medrash Mishlei, ala pasuk mirma belev choreshei ra. There is deceit in the heart of those that are plotting evil. The Medrash says the following. Okay, it's a long run-on sentence. I have to begin with the end. The Medrash says, it says in the verse of Tehillim, Yehi darkam choshech v'chalak lakot. There's a curse, King David says. Certain people, King David curses their path to be enveloped in darkness and slipperiness. So who is that verse talking about, says the Medrash? It's talking about choshech v'chalak lakot. Those that plot evil. It's talking about me'apchei dvarim, people who twist their words. Maftirei safa u'machlikei lashon, people who are sly. It's about them that the verse says their path should be dark and slippery. Al ken, therefore, hachafetz betovato, one who seeks a good life, yelech bitmimut, his path should be a path in earnest, in honesty. Then he will merit to sit in God's domain, so to speak. Kmo she'nemar, the verse says, Hashem yagur bo'olecha. King David says, who will merit to live in your tent, Hashem? Holech tamim, he who goes in an honest, earnest path. So what we saw in this first chapter is that deceit is when we say one thing and mean something else. Sometimes our intent is to harm directly, sometimes to harm indirectly. God hates people who speak deceitfully for the lie and for the harm that they are going to ultimately cause. God says, he distances a person, says, I have no room for you in my world. If a person is deceitful, Hashem hates lies, Hashem's signet ring, his seal is truth, and Hashem demands of us to get into the habit of speaking truth. Truth lasts forever. Lies pass. A person who is accustomed to speaking truth is readily believed and is believed long term. A person who often lies, well, what he says is heard on the short term, and once people verify it, they realize they can't really rely on what he says. A person has to be careful, even more careful than telling the truth. A person has to be careful not to be deceitful, because that is worse than lying. As we saw in the beginning of the chapter, deceit is both twisting the truth and hurting someone else. And that's something which Hashem really hates, that King David curses a person should be enveloped with darkness and slipperiness in his life. And that's why a person who seeks good in his life should be honest and earnest with his fellow men. And that's, in a nutshell, our first chapter.